Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, a few minutes past 6 p.m. Happy
Wednesday.
You know what this song always makes me think of?
Me naked?
Yep. Well, every song makes me think of that. Because I've seen it so many times, but pretty much every song has ever been on the radio.
And there's always music playing.
I think it's the only song that I used my air horn during Hera's Lucky
Break. Oh, wow.
The guy was singing it, and the crowd behind me is just like, screaming at me to hit the horn. And remember, they had said, we'll give you the horns, but we don't want you to use them unless you like.
And
really
I didn't remember that. I didn't remember that part of the game.
It was a big old lecture at the beginning. Like, this is not American Idol. We're not trying to be mean. We don't want to. Well, then don't give me the horn. Don't give me the option. But I mean, these people were just. This guy was bad, and people are screaming to hit the horn. So I did. I blew the horn on bad company, and then after the show, got confronted by the guy's family. He was like middle-aged, 40, 50 years old, and his mom is giving me the business.
Well, there you go.
For giving him the air
people,
horn.
I truly, truly think that, like, for example, I've been singing professionally in a band for 18 years. If you told me, hey, look, this has all been a gigantic joke.
Everyone's been laughing at you.
You cannot sing. And it took a lot of work, your 500 concerts, but it's been a giant joke. I would believe it because I've seen too many people who just objectively can't sing and get really pissed when you tell them that.
Yeah.
Like, especially on some sort of a singing competition.
Right.
So if you told me that, I'd be like, well, I thought I could, but okay, you're right.
That's what was so entertaining about American Idol when it first came out in the early 2000s was the auditions and people who, William Hung thought he could sing. He thought he was great.
Right.
Oh, don't bring that up with me.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't.
Do you know that story?
I feel like I know there's a controversy, but I don't know. Didn't you have him on the show?
No, I called him at his home. I went through about.
Oh, that's better.
About a 6-month period where I was trying to do a bad impression of like Stephen DC and Phone Shams and just feeling my oats. So, okay, a little bit of history. I started the show October 16th of 2000 as a legal call-in show. Did that for about 6 months, was going to get fired, desperately tried to be funny. It kind of worked. And then I'm like, I'm a radio guy. So I called Lou Ferrigno and I did my deaf voice, which was just terrible. And he threatened to kick my ass. And I'm still a little bit afraid, when he comes to Comic Cons, that he's going to remember that. Like, I wonder if that a-hole's still in radio.
Right.
And then
Would you give him a free one? Like,
I would feel so much better if Lou Ferrigno punched me in the stomach. So much better.
You deserve this, Lou.
Then I called Casey and the Sunshine Band guy, the lead singer, and I think it was my third. I called William Hung at home, and I don't remember what my bit was. I really don't. But I was doing it, whatever my jackass thing I was, and his dad's in the background screaming, hang up on him! Just hang up! You don't need this S! And he was like, Dad, I'm going to talk to the man. Dave, I'm sorry. Where were you again? He was so nice. He was so nice to me. And I'm just like, whatever, Dave's William Hung.
So what inspired you to write She Bangs? And where were you in like William's like actually it's not my song and it's actually like he's like
he was so
what a
nice.
Sweetie.
Yes.
He was so nice.
He was over the top nice and Dave is desperately trying to like be funny.
So then I tried one more time. The name of the guy, Casey and Sunshine Band, let's just say it's Lewis, it's not, but it's something like that. And I call and his mom answered. And I'm like, hi, I'm calling to talk to Casey and the Sunshine Band. She goes, yeah, hold on a second. Lewis! What? Lewis, the phone's for you. Yeah, it's Lewis. I'm just like, oh God. Like, he's living with his mom, and I couldn't even go through any of the bit.
How did you get his home telephone number?
I don't remember. Okay. Tom Turbrack was an amazing producer.
Yeah. Apparently.
Yeah.
Production, yeah, the producers back then were just really special.
They could just get anyone's number. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
I got let go because I couldn't get a hold of William Hung.
They're all just like, all those memories are just sort of like in one big booger for me. Just terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would have done too well back during those days of radio because it seems fun, but it also is mean in a way. I don't. Courtney from Y98 was in the office yesterday telling me about when she was a producer, she got in trouble because she couldn't find enough homeless people to do their homeless wine tasting test on Steve in DC. And I was just like, all right. As fun as that sounds, kind of glad I missed it because I don't know if I have the stomach for that kind of thing.
No, I can't believe, like, on the best my Best Of CD from 2008 or 9, I did quite a few of those. Like, when I called the guy that had Weimer Honors for sale, and I don't even remember what the bit was, and then Camille, when she called.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, true.
Because Camille called you to get to make fun of, well, not make fun of you, but
complain
to insult you and complain about you. That's totally different. I think that's fair game.
But there are a couple of those in the Best Of CD that if someone said, like, okay, what was it? There's something about a doll. It's a doll. Something about no pants. Pantless Joe. What the hell is that?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Bat balls.
Yeah.
That's not that's,
I couldn't do it.
Different.
I couldn't do it now. If you said, like, we want you. Okay, Dave, phone jams are really in. Can you call? I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I never. The only time I ever liked a phone sham is when, like, the person on the other line was kind of in on it. Not like it, like, set up, but like they knew that it was a joke.
Yeah.
And they would either play along.
You know what I never.
Or it wasn't, like, not making fun of them. Like, I remember one time Jeff, Trish, and Tom called the dollar store over and over again to price check items.
That's funny.
And that was funny because you're not making fun of
them. They had a lot of good ones.
Now, they were getting mad. The person on the phone was getting mad that this person kept calling and asking, like, do you have a spatula? How much does it cost at the dollar store? But they weren't making fun of. So that kind of stuff I thought was hilarious. But
more annoying than
make fun of somebody. Yeah.
They had a lot of good ones, I remember.
My least favorite thing ever, and I hated it from day one, was when Glenn Beck would do. What was the name of that?
Oh yeah,
trivia thing.
Yeah,
with football coming up.
Yeah, yeah. Where they would do the Monday Night Football game.
And do you know this, Rach?
Mm-mm.
So, Glenn used to be the morning zoo.
Yeah,
that's how he started in radio. Like he knew
like
Stephen
full
DC
on wacky
hated
morning
him,
zoo.
And then he started talking to God.
Yeah,
on the air.
That's exactly right.
Okay,
that's exactly right. When Glenn started with us back in probably 2004, he was 50-50. 50% comedy, 50% politics.
Yep.
And then was, you know, it went totally the other way. But he used to do this thing on Fridays where he would call a convenience store and get someone, usually who English wasn't their first language. They're working at a convenience store. You're kind of like yourself, you know, regulating. And they weren't particularly smart. And he would do this trivia contest with them. And it was, I just always thought it was sad. Yeah. It'd be like, okay, so who wrote Common Sense, the pamphlet? And the guy just be like, I don't know, Joe Namath? Yeah. Or worse, it'd be like, I don't know. I'm sorry. They'd be like, I'm sorry, sir. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
And they'd just crush him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And even back then, when Glenn and I were really good friends and I was doing a show and I was going to his house and stuff, I remember telling him, like, dude, it's so mean. I don't know how you do it. You're just finding dumb people and making fun of them.
I guess Glenn Beck always in my mind, I wasn't really aware of who he was until I started working for 97.1 because we were still carrying the show back then. So I had no idea that he was like that at all. And then in 2016, he sat down with Samantha Bee, the lady who I think her show's on TBS, Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, and did an interview with her. And he was actually like really charming and funny. And it just shocked me.
He's incredibly funny.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so funny.
And they were bonding over hating Trump. I don't know if he's since turned back on that and
is a supporter now. When I remember the day back at Emmis, obviously, and we have a new show and it's Glenn Beck, and it's entertainment, and it's comedy, and it's all this stuff. And I was so pissed. And I told Jeff, like, whatever, this is what I
like
do.
Like, he's coming in on your business.
Like, this is what I do. I'm the funny guy that can also be smart. And then when I heard his show, it took me about 10 minutes to realize, oh, this is what it is supposed to sound like. Mm. Like, it was really humbling. Back when he was doing his old show, I'm like, you're just better at this than me. You're funnier, you're this, you're that. It was a great thing to happen to me in my career because I was in the throes of my I'm so good, and then someone came along and just cleaned my clock.
And then
he lost his mind.
Poor Glenn.
Oh.
Anywho.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, Glenn. Oh yeah, Tony has as many Glenn stories as I do. He was his handler.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. He was like, I love hearing like the handling behind the Bon scenes 97.1.
I should save some of those stories for
Stage 5
or stage show. Yeah, I can. Tell
I had a weird interaction when I was just walking in this morning. I've had a weird couple of days. I'm kind of off. I haven't been sleeping well. I haven't been eating. Losing a bunch of weight. I'm down to 138, by the way.
Looking like
look
a million
incredible.
Bucks.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Way the same as my mom. So I'm walking in. We've all walked in a million times. We are in a building that also has apartments. And you know how you're walking in with someone and the timing's going to be odd. Mm-hmm. Who gets there first?
Yeah.
And it was this African-American girl about Rachel's age, and she had her hands full, and she had a Tupperware thing full of pasta. And so I kind of, you know, walked fast, opened the door for her. She's like, oh, thank you. And then opened the second door for her. Oh, thank you. And she's like, oh, I just have so much stuff in my hand. And I go, oh, yeah, your pasta looks really good. And she's like, oh, it's from last night, pastry. And then, so right then is when I should have said, have a good day. And
you're trying to hang out.
And I go, I swear to God, I don't know why I said this. I said, yeah, I'm really hungry.
So now you're asking for her food.
And that was
I
so
can
weird.
Unlock the door to she your apartment
was,
for you.
She
if
was
you
getting
need
on
hand.
That elevator. You know, you walk in and go left. And she stopped and she goes, would you like it? And I'm just, at that point, you're so far in. So far in. And I was just like, I'm good.
Is it warmed up?
Like, I honestly thought about
I'm
taking it.
I'm allergic to dairy.
No,
just,
you can't
just
take it.
Just don't
because
do
because
it
had already gotten so weird.
That's
it was
funny.
Like when the people thought I was That's mentally funny. Handicapped. And I just went with it.
Yeah.
Now I don't want us to get a billboard because I don't want her to see it and be like, that's the guy that tried to take my pasta. That's awesome.
Yeah, had I been going
really
had I been going up, I don't know what I would have done. I could not have gotten on the elevator with her.
No, more pasta talk.
And you know, here's what it is. Like, I'm so fascinated with the way your brain works. I could see the thought in my brain in a bubble because I am hungry. Like, I haven't been eating.
Right.
And I could feel it making its way down into the back of my throat, and it's about to come out of my mouth, and I couldn't stop it.
Right. Funny. That's
I'm
so
really
funny.
Hungry.
I feel bad anytime.
Do you want me to go get you something?
And here's the thing. I don't not look homeless.
Yeah, that's true.
Am I right?
His shoes have holes in them.
My shoes. Look, Tony, you can see all my toes through my shoes. My jeans haven't been washed in a month.
Yeah. Wearing a beanie to cover up.
I don't not look homeless.
Yeah.
Would you like this?
Sir,
I'm really hungry.
Me?
Notice
I'm sorry, I have no use of my arms. Could you feed me?
I opened the door for you. So I think a little pasta is in order.
It's a real nice handbag you have. I don't have anything to carry stuff in.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. The DGS 5 tickets on sale. They're going to be sale to the end. If we sell it out, it's like 710 seats, it will be toward the end. So we're going to, look, just settle in. We'll be talking about this for another month because it's a month from last night. We're about 60% sold out. But yeah, this, if you've ever done an event, this is the way it goes. You sell a bunch of tickets, there's a lull, and then you sell a bunch of tickets at the end. So I apologize, but for any given day, 20, 30 people are like, oh, yeah, let's go do that. 971talk.com/DGS Live. Speaking of singing, which I will be doing, which again could be a part of an elaborate hoax, you guys are all playing on me, but my 23andMe, one of the traits is, like, do you have perfect pitch? Can you?
That's what I was trying to think of yesterday.
Like, if you play a note, can you tell what it is, and is it dissonant? Is it flat? Is it, what's the other one? Sharp.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to say it. And mine was, no, you can't. So
I thought you did have, I thought you were like, shows what they know.
Well, here's the thing. God, there's no way this doesn't sound cocky.
Just say it.
I don't understand the notes. Like, I can, if you say like, what's,
you can't read music?
No. Okay. If you say like, what's an E? I only know it's like the first chord of Dirty Deeds. So I'd go bang. But, Derek Saint Holmes, the singer of Ted Nugent, I played with him, and afterwards he said, you have perfect pitch. That's the best compliment anyone's ever given me because it was one of my favorite singers. And like Greg Hullab in my band has perfect pitch, but he can tell you that's a A minor diminished seventh.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas I have zero idea. Yeah. If you played a note on the piano, I might be able to find it from a song I know, but I have no idea.
Right.
You should have yelled that at the girl with the pasta as the elevator doors were closing.
Right.
Just like, I have perfect pitch.
Yeah. Thank you.
Just make the interaction that much better.
Yeah.
Really hungry. God. God, if you, could, if you could.
Pasta.
That's my perfect pitch.
I love you.
I love you so much. It's usually come in at this time because I'll see you tomorrow. I work in the radio station. if you, I can hook you about 23 and me. If you need to,
Everett and Glenn Beck is my friend.
I'm not supposed to have dimples, but I do. Probably can have Alzheimer's. It's just a vein that showed up yesterday. I don't know where it came from.
She's hitting the door closed button. Smash.
Mom, close, Dad, door, I close, have door, to move. Button. It's not safe here.
I've only been in St. Louis for a month. I'm
never
really
bringing home pasta.
I said I'm really hungry.
Your pasta looks good.
Really, you know what's worse was it all happened so fast. She turned to the left and she hit the button, and I had already fobbed in, and I was opening the door.
Yeah,
I
and
was
you lingered.
Out.
You
I was
lingered.
Out. Here's the
door,
timing.
You'd
here's
already
the timing.
Done everything right.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome. Next door. Oh, thank you again. Oh, you're very welcome. I just have so much stuff in my hands. Yeah. Your pasta looks really good. Oh, yeah, it's last night's from Pastoria. Oh, okay. I'm really hungry. That's literally how long a pause it took.
Yeah. Well, would you like some?
She's got to be thinking.
Would you like it?
The next line is, oh, yeah, I need some money.
Oh, right. And when she said, like, would you like it? And she extended it toward me, and I couldn't even verbalize, so I just vocalized, like,
No.
Oh, no, I have hundreds of dollars. I can afford so much pasta.
I'm trying to do a no-carb thing right now.
I don't even know you, and I don't know what's in it.
This is forward, ma'am.
Back off, lady.
I just got to get into work.
Does this vein look normal?
See you next time.
B. That's a B7.
Oh, boy.
It's music. It's boring. It's my life.
Poor thing. She's probably just up there checking the locks repeatedly.
Yeah. Throwing that pasta away.
Can I talk about the DGS blog really quick?
Sure.
We haven't given it enough love lately. And you can always go there to check out the bumper music if you're curious, if we're playing some odd tunes. you can find headlines on there now that we don't do the closest corner anymore. And I put a video up earlier today of a pastor in Zimbabwe, another Zimbabwean pastor story. If you'll recall, about a month ago, there was a pastor from Zimbabwe claiming to raise people from the dead. And we posted the video yeah. and it couldn't have looked any faker. Well, this pastor kissed a young woman on the lips to rid her body of demons. And it was a long kiss. Like, he kisses her, and then he backs up, and then he waves her back in, and he kisses her again. And it's all on video, all on the DGS blog.
Was she fighting it?
No, she was into it.
How old was she?
She was in her 20s. Okay. She wasn't a minor, but it's still like the pastor is kissing a congregation member on the lips in front of everybody. I don't understand exactly how that works. If you're trying to exorcise a demon, are you like bringing it into your lips? And I don't know. But you can check out the whole thing on the DGS blog. Just trust me when I tell you it's a weird lingering interaction.
Yeah, I don't
even
want to see it.
It's mostly funny. It's not disturbing. Also on the DGS blog, I put up a video that I found on Twitter this morning. It's a drawing tutorial of how to draw a woman's hand. And it's very beautifully drawn. It looks super simple. I have tried to do it. You can see my sad attempt on the header photo of the blog post. I'm encouraging everyone to try it and tweet at me and Tony at RachelZ971, at TonyColombo971, and let us see your attempt at this tutorial because it's way harder than it looks. And a lot of the attempts on Twitter are super, super funny.
Mm.
I love fails like that. Whenever something looks easy and then you try it and you just feel like an idiot. Do you ever watch Nailed It on Netflix? Have you ever seen that? I've never seen it either, but a lot of people say that it's really, really funny because it's kind of like when you see the Pinterest fails, like, oh, this craft, or I've made these cupcakes and it's so easy to decorate, and then you try it yourself. And
I don't know any words you're saying.
Okay.
I kind of know Pinterest.
Okay, Pinterest is a social media platform.
Yeah.
All right, never mind.
All I know is that sometimes
why don't you ask that girl for some more pasta?
My Googling takes me there. And then they don't let me stay. They're like, you should join. And I'm like, I just want to see pictures of drums. They're like, you should just join Pinterest.
You just Google pictures of drums?
No, sometimes I'm like shopping for drums.
Okay.
And then I'll Google image something, and it's usually at Pinterest. And then I'm like, wow, this is amazing.
It's a pretty cool site if you just want to go look. Well, yeah, look
they
at pictures
sell things,
of things,
though, right?
You can buy stuff off of there, but it's not a shopping website. No, I use it primarily for recipes. So if I don't know how to cook something or bake something, I'll look it up on Pinterest. And I would say I have the majority of my recipes from there.
What was I today in the news? There was some story about some social media, something that someone made $1 billion off of. And it made me think, God, what was it? This is YouTube, I think.
Okay.
And I thought, that's so obvious. How did I not think of YouTube? How did I not think of Facebook, right?
But could you have... This is the thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I couldn't have, like, done anything about it. Build the website to host the videos,
no.
Yeah.
But I could have had the idea. So my question is, other than, like, 200 years from now, hologram technology that we don't even understand, is there much to be invented?
No, I think once virtual reality really hits, we're kind of done. Because then you don't really need to... If I'm living in a virtual reality universe that's so convincing that all I have to do is download new stuff, why would I need to go to a website to buy clothes? Or
we've talked about that a lot, that in however many years, they truly have like the Matrix, and they give people a choice that, hey, look, you can keep living like you're living, or you can just go into this world and it's whatever you want it to be, and it feels absolutely real, but it's not. You're in a simulation. And you'll eventually die as your body lays here in this cocoon. Would you guys consider doing it?
Mm-mm.
So you want the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even if virtual reality could be anything you wanted.
Well, yeah, but you're not going to... That would be a luxury, I'm sure. I don't think we'll ever get to the point where virtual reality is just an option for free.
No,
you know what I mean?
But let's say you can afford it.
Yeah. But no, yeah, still, I don't think so. It might be a fun way to take vacations. You know, or, you know, to experience as recreation. But no, I wouldn't want to live like that. And I also don't agree that it'll be, once we get to that point, there's nothing left to do. We didn't know. There's no way 50 years ago that anybody could have even imagined the internet the way it is now, or the type of services, the opportunities that were coming. So they would have probably thought, wow, there's nothing else we can do. We've reached the limits of human technology. So something will be created. I don't know what it is, but there'll be more.
Well, I'm going in the Matrix.
Really?
Yeah. I got nothing keeping me here. No, I think it would be, if I had the option to like type in, yeah, and hey, while I'm in there, remove all of my anxiety, mm-hmm. or remove all the unhealthy anxiety. If I could just reach a state of zen, I know that's cheating, but whatever.
Would you want any, because the whole narrative, of course, with any self-help, anything, is we need our struggles. I just finished a book called, Thank God for Skin Knees, or something like that, about parenting and just, you know, facing difficulties. Would you program that into your perfect life to have some, you know, difficulties you had to overcome? Or would you just want it smooth sailing all the way?
I do agree with that you need some sort of struggle to make your life interesting at all. I was talking to a friend the other day about how, you know, you reach certain checkpoints in life and you think, all right, it's smooth sailing from there. Like a lot of people think, once I get married, it's happily ever after. Or once I get that promotion, I'm set. I don't ever have to worry about money again. But new problems always arise. I guess it would be pretty boring if you just reached that one place and then you were good.
And what if you had the option of, I want to know that I'm in a simulation and can stop it whenever I want?
Oh, I would have to do that. I don't think I'd be able to just let go and do it. So but if I could just, like Tony said, you could make it a vacation, but I would do it the majority of the time if it was something that was fun and I could afford it.
So you wouldn't let it just be your life, where you are wiped of any memory of this life?
I mean,
or are we there now?
I don't know.
We in a simulation?
I mean, that lady on from Mayor Boston.
She did. She could have just been a part of the simulation.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know the scene from Sideways where he says, I'm not drinking any effing Merlot?
Mm-hmm.
That happened with this song in the Dave Glover Band. We used to play this song, and I loved playing it and singing it, and it's basically one chord that I could play. And when Jimmy Griffin got in the band, he was like, hey, I'm telling you right now, not playing any effing Foghat. Okay. Fair enough, Jimmy Griffin.
Didn't Jimmy
well, then
also?
You're going to have to find yourself a different band.
Didn't Jimmy Good also luck. Say he wouldn't play in a band with a dude that wore flip flops?
Yeah. I wore sandals to a gig one time. And Jimmy and I, we've always been such good friends, really like each other. And he goes, Glover, you're making me break my rule. I swear to God, I would never play in a band with a guy that wore sandals or flip-flops on stage. And I felt terrible. I was ready to go buy someone's boots.
I'll just take my shoes off. I'll go change, Jimmy. I'll just go barefoot.
The Glenn Phillips from Toad the Wet Sprocket used to, maybe he still does, but perform barefoot.
I've done that quite a lot, like for outdoor festivals, and I really prefer playing drums barefoot. Like, yeah. I prefer it.
Yeah.
I remember my very first gig. Oh, God. My very first gig was down in Soulard at a place right on Broadway. I don't know what it's called now. And I was such a douche. I'd never sang in a band before. Hmm. I play guitar about like a fourth grader. No kidding. And I had just started making money. And I bought a bunch of expensive guitars. So behind me, picture this. Behind me, I have like six guitars on stands, all of which are worth like $3,000, none of which I can play. Oh, God. The guys in my band knew I couldn't play.
Right.
But they liked me, and I was a radio guy. But they didn't like me enough to say, you shouldn't do that.
Right.
You look ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
Where'd I put my gear?
And they're all fanned out behind me. Wait a second, I have to change. On this song, I really need my Stratocaster.
The normal thing to do, and the endearing thing to do with the audience, is to say, It's my first gig.
Yeah.
My first time.
Yeah.
Bear with me. But I'm so excited
exactly.
to be here.
But
you had to go out and like act like
yes.
you've been
yeah.
like
yes.
you're an old pro.
Yes.
That's so Dave Glover.
Yeah, the only way to really, you know, do that with the audience is when you get that you're being a douche. I did not.
Yeah, you thought you were killing
I
it.
I thought I was killing it. I thought I was killing it.
And they would have loved it if you would have said, it's my first gig, I'm just so excited to be here.
But you get it, because like watching concerts, I've always loved and been intrigued by when like the roadie runs out and the guy takes off his guitar and mm-hmm. hands it to him and he puts on another guitar mm-hmm. and plugs it in. Like, oh, on that song, he must have needed this.
Yeah, but those yeah. people know how to play guitar.
Thank you. Yeah. But
that's like the main part.
See, I'm not stupid. You'd agree. I'm not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
How can I be that stupid?
I don't know.
How? I was a grown-ass man.
I think
I was 40 years old.
I think it's nerves. I think it's you're trying to look like you
that,
belong.
I don't
you
know.
Look
I,
like you're
I think
to.
Dave gets so hung up on like, it will feel cool. I think you're a very tactile person. And if you can do the act of something, whether or not you know how to do it, I don't know. I don't know exactly how to explain it, but I think to you, the goal was just to switch the guitar. It didn't matter whether or not you know how to play. It didn't matter if it was necessary, but you thought that you were reaching a point by being able to do that.
The goal was to look cool.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But.
Cool comedy.
I knew that I couldn't play them.
Right.
But I didn't connect the dots that other people would know I couldn't play them. And within 5 minutes go, why does he have a guitar, much less six? He has six $3,000 guitars. And just, it would have been hilarious. It would have been fascinating if you could have just someone like a wizard stop time and go like, okay, right there where you switched over to Def Leppard, why did you grab the Les Paul? Why? Just walk me through. Why did you need that? Because it was turned down anyway. Like, I would just put on Les Paul and then turn it down so you couldn't hear me not playing. What the hell? What the hell?
What could that one not do that one did?
I mean, it's ridiculous.
That you needed to make that change.
Ridiculous.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Remember one time
so Dave Glover.
My brother, who was very much like me, but he was the dark side of the coin.
Yeah.
So he was... Just picture me,
yep.
but very, very dark and cutting all the time. And he was
like that episode of SpongeBob where he's got yes, the abrasive side.
Yeah, the abrasive side. Yeah. That's my brother, Keith. He was a pretty good musician, you know, way, way, way better guitar player than me. And I had a guitar and I was playing my little cowboy chords, you know, bling, bling, bling. And I said, yeah, I'm really thinking about getting this. And he's like, really? So your talent has found the outer perimeters of that guitar, and it was just so perfect. It was such a perfect slam,
right?
Because clearly there was plenty left in the tank of this guitar. God,
screw you, Keith.
And almost like the girl at the pasta today, rather than being like, you know what, F you, I was like, well, you know, I'm just sometimes just feel like it doesn't really do what I wanted to do. I don't know.
God. I have no I'm the oldest, so I don't have that experience of...
You have a real dumb brother, though.
What it's like trying to... You know.
So he gets to do the smacking down.
Exactly.
He's not on the receiving end.
But his
end.
Brother exactly. may be dumb enough that he didn't know he's being smacked.
Mine or yours?
Yours.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I had an 8-year... That's the other thing. And your brother's quite a bit older than
11.
You, too. Yeah. That 8-year advantage, so... Obviously, always bigger, stronger, smarter, better, you know. Just
yeah, no contest.
So, yeah, he just stood no chance.
Did you get in trouble for it?
Yes.
Mm.
For beating him up and picking on him, yeah.
Did you ever really hurt him? I don't mean like break his arm, but did you really inflict real pain?
Not on purpose. Not on purpose.
Did Big Dave Zimmerman?
Yeah, but not like seriously injured at all. But,
and when we would fight, I would let him
mm-hmm.
get his shots.
Yeah, because that's fun.
Yeah, you know. So he got his. It wasn't all one sided when we were wrestling. Now when I was done, and I wanted to just end it,
or
I could
if he
end
got
it.
Lucky with a shot, and then your temper flared.
Mm-hmm. Man. I remember the first time I knocked my dad down wrestling. Mm. Like,
it's a weird feeling.
Yeah. Like, oh,
yeah.
Whoa, look what I just did. And then I was like, oh, what did I just do?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going
to
go.
Even though I did exactly what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
I tripped him. I remember we were wrestling and I like swept, like tried to sweep his legs out from underneath him and I did it.
Yeah.
And he went down. I was like, whoa.
I had a terrible moment one time. My dad was pretty small. He was like 5'6", 5'7". And by that time, I was full grown and athletic and a senior in high school or maybe even a freshman in college. And I was having a fight with my then girlfriend at my mom and dad's house. And it was just, you know, a dumb young boyfriend-girlfriend fight. And my dad said, oh, I'm going to take her home. And I was like, no, you're not. And he's like, I'm taking her home. And I said, I'm taking her home. And there is this face-off. And he backed down, not like, don't hit me, but just like, you know.
Fine, do
it. We're never going to throw punches.
Right.
But it was that moment.
Yeah.
And it made me so sad.
Yeah.
Like, it made me sad just that had happened.
Right.
But then later on, it made me sad that if I wanted to beat my dad up, I probably could. And it was just like a passing of a torch that you don't want passed. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.